Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Good Friday, March 29th, 2013. Today is also Vietnam Veterans Remembrance Day, which marks the day that all American combat troops left Republic of Vietnam 39 years ago. To all the Vietnam era vets, we say thank you very much. And we also say thank you very much for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live noon to 1 each Monday through Friday on KVOI AM 1030, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We also make it very easy for you to hear the program on your schedule. That's why we post to three different sites: my website, TucsonCitizen.com, and TucsonSentinel.com. We thank both of those sites for carrying the Buckmaster Show as well. Our Friday Focus interview today is with United States Representative Ann Kirkpatrick, a Democrat representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District. This is a huge piece of real estate spanning from the northwestern part of the Tucson metro area in the south to Flagstaff and to northern Arizona and the Indian nations in the north. Joining me to question Congresswoman Kirkpatrick are Mark B. Evans, administrator for the Gannett Corporation-owned TucsonCitizen.com, a community of bloggers, and Dylan Smith is here. He's editor and publisher of the nonprofit online Tucson news service known as TucsonSentinel.com. If you have a question or comment for the Congresswoman, our Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Congresswoman Kirkpatrick joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Washington. Congresswoman, how are you today?
I'm great, and thank you so much, Bill, for this opportunity to talk to your listeners. And before we get started, I just want to send a quick message to my alma mater, University of Arizona, for their great effort in the NCAA tournament. Boy, last night's loss was a heartbreaker, but we're also proud of them.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaker, but, you know, when you play a really good game and it's decided in the final 2 seconds, I think everybody can be proud, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Let's begin with sequestration. April 1st will mark 1 month into the sequestration. Are we going to start to see the effects now of this in the next 30 days?
Bill, we're already seeing the effects in Congressional District 1. And keep in mind that our district has lots of natural parks, forest land. In fact, over 95% of the district is either state or federal land. So it's different in that regard, and it creates a real challenge in terms of funding our schools. So we count on programs like Secure Rural Schools, federal programs to run our schools. And I just talked with a teacher at a small school in one of our small towns who thinks that they're going to lose $400,000. That means they're going to have to lay off teachers. We're already feeling the effect. So it's real.
Here's Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com, Congresswoman.
I've got a question that starts off a little soft and then gets harder. But
okay.
Because it is Vietnam Vets Day, it's related to the VA. You just this morning sent out a press release that you are launching a resource page on your website for veterans.
Yeah.
But why is the VA having all these problems? Why is there such a huge backlog going on in enormous, ridiculous piles of paper? And what can be done to help people out and fix that?
You're right. Today is Vietnam Veterans Remembrance Day, and so many of our Vietnam veterans are having health problems now, and there is a huge backlog in claims processing. As you know, I've been appointed to the Veterans Affairs Committee, and then I'm ranking member on the Veterans Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations. We just had a hearing on this, and we've been pushing for answers. I don't think we got adequate answers at our hearing. We're going to have to continue to push on this. Delayed care is denied care, and our veterans deserve better than waiting for 2 years. I'll just give you a local example, Dylan. I have a veteran caseworker in my Casa Grande office. And by the way, I should mention, if you're listening, if you're a veteran, please reach out to us. Yeah, you can email us through our website, kirkpatrick.house.gov. And you can find phone numbers for all of our offices in the district on our site. One of the things we really want to do is assist our veterans with their health care needs or any other federal matter. But back to my caseworker, right before we had the hearing on backlog, talked to him, and he told me he's taken in 17 veteran casework matters since the first of the year. 16 of the 17 are backlogs, and every one of those people has been waiting for more than 2 years.
Mm.
That's just not acceptable.
That certainly isn't. Not acceptable.
No, and we're going to have to keep pushing to get to the bottom of this.
Here's Mark Evans now from TucsonCitizen.com, Congresswoman.
If comprehensive immigration reform manages to make it out of the Senate and goes over to the House, do you think it really has any chance of getting out of the House, considering that numerous House members, Republican House members, were elected on an anti-immigration stance in the past couple of election cycles? And what do you think about the proposals and the tenets of the immigration reform that are on the table? Are there ones that you're more supportive of and ones that you are unfriendly towards?
You know, Mark, I think we're closer to getting this done than we've ever have been. So I'm optimistic that we will come up with a federal immigration strategy that takes a balanced approach. So I was happy to see that the Senate is working in a bipartisan manner on a balanced approach, and I understand there's also a House group doing the same kind of work. But, you know, in talking with people, we really need to move forward beyond just securing the border. And the University of Arizona, interestingly, just came out with a study saying that the current policy is breaking up families and not stopping repeat border crossers. So we've got to do something. We've got to give law enforcement the tools to protect the borders, but we also have to create a fair and sensible system that will help us deal with people who are already in the country and people who want to come here to work and also to be with their families.
And do you support temporary work visas for transient migrant workers?
Yeah, you know, the Farm Bureau has a bill out that's very interesting, that's getting a lot of support. It basically says if you can prove that you are working in agriculture, you are then granted an opportunity to choose whether you want to become a temporary worker or you want a pathway to citizenship. So there are a lot of plans out there. What I did, I put together an immigration advisory group, broad spectrum. It has farmers, ranchers, hotel owners, restaurant owners, chambers, people from the faith-based groups, all talking about how can we reach a consensus that's going to really move us forward with this.
Okay, here's Dylan Smith again.
You mentioned securing the border. That seems to be one of the real sticking points in this debate in Congress, how to define when the border is secured. What sort of metric would you like to see us measure that with?
You know, one of my colleagues in Texas is working on a definition of what that means, and so I think you'll see some legislation regarding that. I think that's a good effort, because then we can define it, we can look at where we need to direct resources, and then really focus back in on, you know, the economy and the economic issues that are around federal immigration.
Quick question on the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles, quickly, please.
Very quick question for you, Congresswoman Kirkpatrick. Thank you for coming on Bill's show. And it's a harsh question for you. I believe that your oath is to support and to protect the Constitution and to and also to to uphold your oath to the Constitution. Yet you seem to be as concerned about keeping families together as you are about upholding your oath to the Constitution. Can you please explain for the audience why that seems to be the case?
Charles, thanks for calling in. I'm sorry, I don't understand why that's a conflict.
You seem more more concerned about keeping families together than upholding your oath.
I don't agree with you that that's the case at all.
Okay. Charles, do you want to quickly follow or what? No.
You're concerned about breaking up families in the illegal immigration debate. Shouldn't your concern be focused on enforcing United States law more than on whether or not families are broken apart by their own illegal acts? And I'll listen to the answer on the air.
Okay, thank you.
You know, Bill, I believe in I'm upholding the constitutional oath that I took, and I don't see a conflict in also wanting families to be reunited.
All right. Let me ask you this about the Navajo generating plant. We had David Modir, head of the Central Arizona Project, on the show this week, and of course, he's very concerned about these new and very expensive EPA mandates for cleaning up the generating plant, and there's some question whether or not that they would actually even make the air quality any better in the in northern Arizona. That plant, as you know, provides power pretty much 90% of the CAP. And there's concern that our water bills would go sky high if this plant has to initiate these changes. What's the latest on this?
You know, we really have been working for years with the EPA to again, reach some kind of balanced approach. We need the jobs that the NGS creates. It is a major employer in the northern part of the state, but as you said, it also is the primary energy source for the CAP. So it affects our farmers down in the southern part of the district as well. We're very concerned about the impact that it would have on rising water prices, especially for our farmers. So we're continuing to meet with the EPA, continuing to ask them to give us time, work this out, work with us. We don't need to lose jobs, and we also don't need to raise the cost of our water. So it's a big concern. I've been in communication with them, writing letters. We're talking back and forth, but we want to keep the pressure on them to work with us.
Here's Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com.
The Arizona legislature is currently debating whether to expand the Medicaid enrollment qualification to 133% of the federal poverty line as part of the Affordable Care Act. There are also, I think, about 18 other states that are making noises that they won't agree to increase their Medicaid enrollment. If that many states fail to increase their enrollment, will the Affordable Care Act have failed?
You know, the Affordable Care Act isn't perfect, and as you know, we still need to work on it. I am pleased in terms of Arizona's approach to the Medicaid portion. And, you know, the governor is asking the legislature to approve that. Talking to some of my friends at the legislature, they think that it's moving in a good direction. And that's good for Arizona, and it's good for the economy. So that said, you know, the act continues to need to be looked at. Important provisions of it will go into play this year with the market approach, and we'll see how that works. But one of the things I will tell you I'm very concerned about is reimbursement for physicians in hospitals. I, for over 20 years, was one of the attorneys for a hospital and actually represented some physician groups. It's tough for them in the current system to manage how they're going to keep their offices open, their hospitals open, and we've got to address that. So I'm in constant communication with our hospitals, our doctors, you know, what makes sense getting this done.
Well, the idea behind the plan was to take the millions of Americans who are not, who either couldn't afford insurance or who couldn't qualify for insurance, and to get them insurance through a number of ways. If numerous states don't increase their Medicaid enrollment, I mean, that was one of the biggest ways to get those people into plans, their incomes are so low that they might not be able to afford purchasing insurance through exchanges, which would seem to be that the point of the plan, of the ACA will have not been achieved. Do you agree with that or no?
I think it's the choice of the governors in those particular states. Really, I mean, the opportunity there is there in the act to provide that kind of coverage, both with Medicaid and the exchanges. So those governors who've chosen not to participate in the Medicaid portion, maybe they have another plan. I don't know. I know our governor has chosen to participate.
I'm going to have to wrap it up here with you. I know you need to get on to another appointment. I'll finish this interview kind of the way it began, with sequestration. So is there any movement about finally wrapping this up, or is this just going to continue month after month? What's your feeling on that?
Well, we did pass the continuing resolution to keep the government funded. So we didn't completely shut down government. I mean, it will be funded to the end of the fiscal year. And in that, we actually gave discretion to several of the agencies to look at making strategic cuts rather than a MEDEX approach. Those agencies are like agriculture, FDA, Homeland Security now, don't have to take the MEDEX approach. They can actually be very strategic in how they make those cuts. And I think that's what has to happen all along. You know, we need to stop the across-the-board cuts and really agree on a balanced approach to revenue.
All right, Congresswoman Kirkpatrick, thank you very much for being with us. We wish you a very joyous Easter weekend, and thanks for sharing some time with our listeners here in Tucson.
Thank you very much, and again, thank you to all of our veterans. You've done great service to our country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to start our Friday Reporters Roundtable just a few minutes early today. The Congresswoman had to go on to another appointment, but after we hear first from the Buckmaster Show lineup of really fine sponsors.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The Rugg Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rugg Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rugg Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rugg Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rugg Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGGS. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:25 on this Good Friday Easter weekend. Mark Evans is with us from TucsonCitizen.com and Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com. Gentlemen, I want to pick up a little bit here before we get into our reporters' roundtable at the bottom of the hour, just to follow up a little bit on Congresswoman Kirkpatrick. Mark, let's begin with you. This sequestration issue, people are saying, well, the world didn't end, so I guess nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were talking about 0.2% or 2% of total federal spending. I mean, the cuts were across the board, and, you know, there's going to be some furloughs. There's going to be some programs that aren't going to go forward. But I don't think the general day-to-day American citizen is going to have an effect of it unless there's some particular program that they're benefiting from that's going to see some effect. And then they're going to think sequestration is this devastating cut to them. But I don't think the overwhelming majority of Americans are going to be affected by it all that much.
Dylan, what do you think? I mean, unless you're very close to this, like people who are the 10,000 people who work at Raytheon, they're worried about it.
Well, so the things that are going to get cut, the things that you can cut without fundamentally impacting a program, are the things that are going to hurt people. You know, it's going to be cutting employees, whether actually laying some people off or putting them on furlough, cutting their salaries, and government contracts, you know, defense spending and all the other sorts of contracts that the government has. That's where the flexible room is that you could actually trim a little bit out of a program. You can't, you know, shut down the Pentagon or anything like that. So the people who will be affected will be hitting the pocketbook.
And this is the new normal, though. Everyone has to get used to this because we have $16 trillion debt. We're spending $1 trillion to $2 trillion more than we take in every year. We cannot sustain that, and we cannot tax our way out of it solely. We have to cut. We have to raise taxes. And so there's going to be cuts. We can cut defense. We can probably, you know, with the end of the two wars, we could probably cut $200 billion a year out of defense. That means people are going to lose jobs. I mean, there won't be as many soldiers. There's not going to be as many Humvees getting manufactured. That's, you know, and that's going to have an effect.
But not as many missiles being manufactured.
And Raytheon. So the argument is in order to prevent those bad things, we have to continue spending ourselves into insolvency. You know, we have to cut spending. We're going to have to get used to, for the rest of our lives, I think, because the debt is so huge, cuts in federal spending across all of our favorite things and all of our sacred cows are going to have to take a spear.
Medicare?
It has to. I mean, there has to be some reduction in Medicare, or we're going to have to find some other way to reduce the runaway costs of health care where you've got double-digit increases in health care year over year over year.
The problem with the sequester is that it is pretty much across the board.
It's not
everything
well thought out.
There's nothing strategic about it.
Right.
There weren't decisions that went into this that said, well, we can eliminate this entire program. This is not helping us. We can, you know, get rid of a sacred cow of the Pentagon that's costing us a lot of money and not going to give us a benefit, or, you know, cut this social program that's proven not to work very well and, you know, maybe take some of that money, put it somewhere else, and, you know, cut part of it.
It was supposed to be a poison pill that nobody thought ever would happen, the sequestration.
Right. The House freshmen, the Republicans, the Tea Party members called the John Boehner's bluff and the president's bluff that the House would never allow this to go forward because it would affect every single state and every single district, and it would cost them votes, and none of the members of the House would go for it. And turns out 70 to 80 members of the House caucus said, you know what, we're fine with this, let it go forward. And because of that, Boehner was trapped. He couldn't do anything. even if he tried to do the grand bargain, and you know, Obama kept pulling the rug out from under him every time he thought he got a deal, and Obama tried to push for more, and so Boehner finally had to back off and say, well, forget it. But even if Boehner tried to do the grand bargain, there was probably little chance he was going to get it through the House because of the Tea Party caucus.
All right, that's going to wrap up this first half hour of the Buckmaster Show. Still to come, we will talk about the week's top stories locally here in Arizona with Mark Evans, the administrator of TucsonCitizen.com, and Dylan Smith is with us from the nonprofit online news service TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be back after this break.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Alaska Congressman Don Young getting some criticism from his fellow Republicans after referring to Hispanic migrant workers as wetbacks. His use of the word comes at a time that Republicans are trying to improve their standing among Hispanic voters. Higher taxes haven't caused Americans to rein in their spending. The government says consumer spending actually rose in February by the biggest amount in 5 months. Americans were spending some of their extra income, which increased overall by 1.1%. New York's mayor says he'll veto what he calls a short-sighted proposal requiring thousands of New York City businesses to provide paid sick leave. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says that would be bad for the city's economy. More details at SRNNews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer.
Bundle Cox Business Internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Every Friday, we talk about the Reporters Roundtable. We invite various journalists who make a living covering the news to come on to the Buckmaster Show and talk about, give some commentary on the week's top stories. It is our Reporters Roundtable, and today it's Dylan Smith. Dylan is the editor and publisher of Tucson's nonprofit online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. I strongly suggest if you haven't visited TucsonSentinel.com, do so. A very good source of information. Also suggest visiting TucsonCitizen.com, and Mark Evans is the administrator, and it is the Gannett Corporation owned community of bloggers. So kind of buttering both of you guys up here.
Thanks,
on the Friday roundtable.
Well, that's why we show up, Bill.
Because I support both of your organizations, and you guys support us, and you're very kind in putting the Buckmaster Show very prominently displayed on both of your websites. Now, I want to also invite anyone who hears anything during the next 10 minutes or so, if they disagree or if they have a comment, you can call us and talk to Dylan and Mark and let them know how you
just
feel.
Just Dylan.
Okay, just Dylan.
Only and call if you agree,
yes,
please.
790-2040. The long-awaited volume of transcripts, huge volume, 2,700 pages surrounding the January 8th, 2011 shootings, released this week. Dylan, how did this whole thing come about? I know you looked it over at least once, right?
I read through everything, you know, a couple of times, you know, skimming. A lot of it is evidence sheets and, you know, lists and maps and things like that.
This information not have been released if journalists hadn't requested it?
The reason it took so long to come out was because the case was taken up by the federal authorities, and they have a different rules for releasing info at that level. If it had stayed at the state level, all of this would have come out long, long ago, because under Arizona law, it's a public record. But the judge in the case sealed it all up and said, you know, you need to wait until this is over. It's to maintain Jared Lovner's right to a fair trial under the federal rules.
Right, and the state judge could have done that as well. So I think it was the star that once a judge says this is sealed, they don't usually come back and say, "Oh, I should unseal that because the case is over." Someone has to ask him, and I think the star asked him, "Hey, unseal this," and he did. But they didn't just go to the star; everybody got a chance to read it. And kudos to the star and Dylan and others who took the entire database and put it online for everybody to read. It's not just something that you have to look at how it's been filtered through the eyes of certain reporters. You can go on there and read it online yourselves. Every single horrifying detail of it.
And Dylan did. You went through all 2,700 pages.
Yeah.
What did we learn, or what did you learn?
Beyond a lot of the, you know, horrible, harrowing details that hadn't really come out. The news was really in that when he was expelled from Pima College, the authorities there told Lofner's parents to lock up any guns that they might have in the house, and to ensure that he would get a mental health evaluation. They did take Jared's shotgun away and lock it in the trunk of a car that was in the garage, along with another antique gun that the family had. But
they took the keys to the they tried to dismantle his car. So
they were concerned enough about his behavior that they were making it so his car wouldn't run at night, so he couldn't leave. But he never got that mental health evaluation.
And I think that was the key news that came out of this. A lot of the other details simply filled in some of the things we already knew about the heroism that went on that day and who tackled who and what was said and some of the 911 calls. And a lot of that is interesting. But the real news, what everyone – the real untold part of this story is what did the Lofner family know about Jared's behavior and what did they try to do about it? And it was heartening to see that they did try to do some things. Now, they weren't necessarily effective. I mean, we can look back in hindsight and say, well, if they would have gotten him some medical treatment, perhaps this wouldn't have happened. Well, perhaps it would have. He became an adult and it got to the point where he would have had to have been adjudicated mentally ill and gone through that whole process. The family didn't do that. Until the family talks, we won't really know why they didn't take those steps. It's not clear in the documents. But we do know that they were very concerned and they were taking extraordinary steps. I mean, Randy Lofner chased Jared that morning after Jared had been gone for the night and had come home to try and – he knew something was going to happen, the bad was going to happen. He was trying to stop him, but he lost him. Turned out Jared had gone over to the Circle K and now to call a cab. So on the one hand, it was good to see that the family was concerned and they were trying to do things. But on the other hand, it's disheartening to know that they didn't try to do perhaps the right things.
Producer Rose brings up a very good question. Rose asks, how do parents get their adult children to even – how do they get help?
If they won't do it themselves –
Can they force them?
Yes. If they won't do it themselves, you can – anybody in the state of Arizona can try to take a proceeding to get commitment. It's complicated, but you can do it, and you can go to a judge, and they can require, I don't know, in Arizona, if it's 48 hours or 72-hour hold or psychiatric evaluation, and then it's the determination from there by a health professional what should happen further. And I think considering the psychiatric crisis that he was in at that time, I think it would have been clear that he would have been held for a long time and been given medication, forced to take medication.
We should note that it doesn't have to necessarily be a family member, that anyone –
It could have been PCC.
Anyone can go to a judge and petition to start that process. And, if you've got enough evidence to convince a judge that, yeah, maybe we should check this out, it can start the ball rolling. It doesn't have to be someone's parents or someone's husband or wife.
That can get an intervention.
Yes. Anybody could have done that.
Right.
Speaking of PCC, Dylan, you've been following the Pima Community College story very carefully, and PCC, today's actually an important day, isn't it?
One of several that have gone on over the last couple of weeks, indeed. There's two meetings going on. There's another special board meeting, the governing board, the second one this week in which the board will approve their response to the Higher Learning Commission report that's recommending that they be put on a 2-year probation. And they're also going to be interviewing candidates for the interim chancellor's position to replace the interim chancellor who is stepping down, and somebody should be in that
interim for the interim.
Indeed, somebody should be in that position next week. Suzanne Miles is stepping down from her post as the interim chancellor. The search for a permanent replacement is still ongoing. They want to have somebody appointed for that by July. And the other meeting today is the Pima College Faculty Senate is voting on a resolution that will, if passed, call for the resignation of almost the entire governing board. Only one member who was recently elected,
Sylvia Lee,
indeed, will not be subject to this call for them all to step down.
Meanwhile, there is this permanent search. Well, there is not. There is a search.
It almost seems like a permanent search at this point because they had the two candidates.
There is a search for a permanent leader, and the the faculty would like the board, though, to resign and then start the search again? Is that
yeah, they don't want the current board to choose the next permanent leader. They want them to suspend the search until there's a new board in place.
And this board has proven that it can't be trusted in making this decision because, the majority of them played a role in hiring Flores in the first place. They played a role in the whole shenanigans of him going on this medical leave, and he was going to get paid to stay at home for months before there was finally some news stories that came out about it.
They wanted to install Miles as the successor without a search process.
And immediately put Miles in as this board can't be trusted. And to call for their resignation is great. I think they should demonstrate that they still have some iota of personal honor and resign. And if they don't, I believe that recall proceedings should be taken out against all of them.
That's a hard row to hoe, though.
Nevertheless, we can't just shrug our shoulders and say, well, they won't quit, so we have to live with them. The recall of Pierce because they didn't like the law that he helped pass, I thought was a ridiculous abuse of the recall, even though I agreed with the outcome. However, this is why we have recall in the state of Arizona.
Mark Evans, that was Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. And Dylan Smith is also with me from TucsonSentinel.com. On Monday's program, Sean McCluskey will be with us, Mark and Dylan. And Sean, of course, is a real estate agent who wants to start handing out shotguns in high-crime neighborhoods in Tucson by May. Sean is a former mayoral candidate and city council candidate.
Yeah, he ran for city council a few years back on the Republican ticket and
lost
that race. And then in the last go around, tried to get on the ballot as a Republican candidate for mayor and got basically kicked off the ballot because he didn't get enough valid signatures.
The Democrats challenged the signatures, and they won, and he got tossed.
So this is part of, actually, the Armed Citizen Project, I think, that started in Houston.
Right. Yeah, some of this is a response to the comments that Vice President Joe Biden had said about, that if a woman wanted a weapon for self-defense, she didn't need an assault weapon, she was better off with a shotgun. So they're, that's some of what's behind this. A lot of people are outraged by it. I'm not. Okay, he wants to give the guns away and knock himself out if he can afford it. My questions are, does he have much liability insurance in case those guns are used for some malfeasance or misuse? That everyone knows that the chance of those guns ever being used in self-defense is going to be extremely slim. In fact, the chance of them being used for some other horrible purpose, such as suicide or an accidental shooting, is much, much greater than self-defense.
But certainly, Sean, and any citizen of this country is entitled to a firearm to protect their property and person.
Indeed. That's people have Second Amendment rights. But is it the proper step to go into neighborhoods and that, in many cases, have a high crime rate and put more firearms into that neighborhood? And that's sort of the judgment call that we're talking about here.
We'd be more effective making those neighborhoods safer by increasing our police presence and working on the other issues that make those high crime areas in the first place, poverty being the biggest, one, drug use being another. Giving people guns isn't going to solve the crime problem.
The Maricopa County Republican Committee chair blasted the governor, wasn't it a week or so ago, comparing what did she
call her a Judas.
He called us a Judas. I think he backed off on that, didn't he, Mark?
Yeah, they're trying to get him to apologize, and I don't think he ever apologized, but he did say that, he retracted his statement. There's definite fight going on within the Republican ranks about what to do about this Medicaid expansion. The rank and file are dead set against it. The Pima County Republican Party, Maricopa County Republican Party, Yavapai County Republican Party have all taken votes of their precinct committeemen or straw polls, and they are all dead set against it. So it'll be really hard for the Republican legislature when their rank and file, when their political base is against the Medicaid expansion, to still vote for it. The question is going to be how hard Brewer is going to fight for it. I mean, is she going to break out the veto pen and just bring the legislature to a complete halt, not pass the budget? That's you know, what I'm interested in. But there's definite divisions within the Republican Party about what to do about it.
This could really, really push things back, couldn't it? They're not going to get out of there in a month or so.
No, I can easily see the legislature going into July.
This is a
big wall that's
because they can't pass the budget until they decide on this because it affects.
It's a huge chunk of the budget.
Yeah.
Can they pass this with just all of the Democrats sticking together and a few Republicans joining the Democrats?
In the Senate, they would have. It would be much harder in the House. I think in the House they would have to get. Oh, I'm going to throw a number out and be wrong. 9 or 10.
Something like that.
And I just don't think there's that many Republicans. And if they have to have 2/3, well, then they need almost all of them, and that's just not going to happen.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. That's going to do our Friday Reporters Roundtable. We thank Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. We urge people to check out TucsonCitizen.com, and we also urge them to check out TucsonSentinel.com. Both of these gentlemen work very, very hard to inform the people of Tucson, give them another kind of source of what's going on in our community. Thanks, both of you. Have a great Easter weekend.
Thanks to everybody else out there.
Thanks a lot. We've got Matt Russell with Weekend Watch, some tips for Easter weekend coming up next.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
My name is Chandler Warden from the Board of Trustees at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. I'd like to extend a personal invitation for you to attend a concert hosted by the Desert Museum and the Oasis Project, featuring the award-winning and internationally acclaimed John Jorgensen Quintet, live at the Desert Museum Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th at 6 p.m. Considered one of the best living guitar players, John Jorgensen has played with artists from Johnny Cash to Luciano Pavarotti. These gypsy jazz concerts will be recorded for a DVD and will feature the song you're hearing now, Sonora Spring, all to benefit the Desert Museum. To purchase tickets and find out more information, please visit oasisproject.desertmuseum.org or call 989-0901. That's oasisproject.desertmuseum.org.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Yes, when we hear that music, we know it is officially the weekend in Southern Arizona. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in one of America's top 100 arts communities, historic Silver City. So many galleries and museums. Check it out. And great places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins, Silver City, KOA, and Little Toad Creek Inn. For more information, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is, Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, Food and Beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and today, of course, Easter weekend, he came to work at Russell Public Communication in that funny yellow Easter suit, a bunny suit with complete with the little the little footies. It's just, and the floppy ears, and everybody always gets a kick out of it when you hand out those little chocolate eggs.
Yeah, getting into those footies, Bill, was quite an exercise this morning, and I got to the office and everyone just ran away. It didn't execute the way I had intended, but happy Easter to you, sir.
Oh, so much going on Easter weekend. It's just a great time. A lot of people want to get together with family, and many want to go out and have a fine dinner.
Absolutely, and I think a great way to kick off Easter weekend is to hop on down. Did I just say that? To hop on down to Maynard's Market and Kitchen this evening at 7 p.m. for a special wine dinner featuring the wines of Trefethen Family Vineyards right out of Napa Valley. And the dinner is going to be showcasing the handiwork of Maynard's executive chef, Adam Buzzolini, who's going to be presenting 5 courses, each paired up with a companion Trefethen wine. And get this, Haley Trefethen herself, though, is going to be on hand to discuss not only the wines, but her family's approach to winemaking as well. Reservations are a must, so give Maynard's a call and plan to attend this special wine dinner tonight.
And the Trefethens will be there tonight, one of the family
members.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Of course, Easter is about not only bunnies, but those little eggs, and maybe there's a good place to go to get some of the eggs going rolling down the hill.
That's right. I counted about 113 egg hunt events this weekend all around Southern Arizona. But the extravaganza at the International Wildlife Museum out of Gates Pass caught my eye. It all starts tomorrow at 10 a.m., and there's going to be face painting and carnival games, all kinds of great things for the kids. But here we go. A respectable showing of some of Tucson's best food trucks are all going to be congregating for my fellow culinary cruisers out there. A great family event, so get the kids in the car and head out to Gates Pass tomorrow morning and bring your appetite.
I knew there had to be a food connection, and all the food trucks will be lined up, and so there'll be plenty of choices available. Easter brunch, so popular. Many families love to do it.
Yeah, we have so many great options for an Easter meal here in Tucson. But my pick this year is Wildflower American Cuisine over there on Oracle and Ina. And I actually am sitting at Wildflower as we speak, Bill.
Oh.
They're gonna be opening up an hour early this Sunday at 10 a.m. And they're going to be featuring a special Easter menu with items such as quiche Florentine and pan-seared halibut, all from the gifted hands of Chef Omar Huerta. It's an Easter meal that foodies will surely celebrate at Wildflower. Call them today for reservations. And Bill, a big congratulations to Wildflower for being named one of Tucson's top five restaurants overall in this year's Tucson Lifestyle Magazine Culinary Awards. How fun.
Yeah, and I bet you're going to do a little sampling there in a few minutes.
Yeah, your guess is right on, Bill.
Matt Russell, thank you very much. Have a wonderful and a happy Easter weekend.
To you and your family as well, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All of our guests are provided with a bottle of Culligan water. They like it, we like it, and who wouldn't like it? Culligan simply tastes better. John C. Scott Show, 3 to 5 this afternoon. Then, of course, it's Expert Talk on the weekend. Phil Cedar starts it off tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock with his gardening show, and now with the great weather, everybody has those gardening questions. Then Monday morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe Easter weekend. We'll talk with you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.